The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 496. I hope all is going well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I know I said it, 496. Before you know it, we're going to be at that milestone episode of 500. And I want you to know that I'm working on a pretty solid episode for that particular milestone. I don't want to reveal too much, so I'm just going to play it close to the vest and say that I think it's going to be a great episode. And I just want to throw it out there to my fellow podcasters. If you want to drop a quick line, let me know what you think about the show or congratulatory statements or anything along those lines. Hit me up, all right? Let me know, and we'll work something out. Of course, you can reach me at johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. And let's make it happen. You know who you are out there. There's a lot of you fantastic podcasters that I'm very close with. If you want to say something, just let me know. So with that, I'm going to switch gears real quick and talk about my guests for this episode. They are Fennec and Sarah Cook, two fantastic indie comic book creators who are now part of the C3 anthology called Hidden Histories. And these two individuals have kind of teamed up for their entry. Fennec and Sarah are both going to be presenting How to Make a Comic Book. And to be honest with you, Fennec's going to kind of look at some different topics when you're making a comic. Like, for an example, emotionality. I mean, you want your readers to connect with your characters. And Sarah's also going to talk about some of the mechanics of writing and building that plot and whatnot. So if you've ever been interested in wanting to write your own comic book, you need to listen to this episode, all right? And before we get to my conversation with Fennec and with Sarah Cook, I need to thank a few great sponsors. First, the newest sponsor to the PVD Cast is, of course, Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You will find her at all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, which is spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, and sometimes there's a space in between it depending on the outlet. But nonetheless, it's the home for some fabulous deals. You definitely need to check it out. And if you do indeed purchase anything from Courtney 614 Online Sales, let her know that you heard about her great deals by listening to the PVD Cast. And now it's time to thank the OG sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking the gold, silver, bronze, or modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your fandom. So, if you want to check out the store, you can do that in person by going over to the store, which is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations with Fennec and Sarah Cook.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm sitting down with an artist who is another talented individual in that C3 anthology that we're talking about. Of course, I'm talking about Fennec. Fennec, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you this evening?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to chatting with you because the whole topic, the whole kind of central theme for Hidden Histories, which is the new C3 anthology, is this idea about learning something. And last year when we did this for a different anthology, you taught me about KVs, correct?
Indeed, yeah. Like last year, I kind of almost used up my topic of informational by talking about KVs or guinea pigs.
Well, so I'm excited to know what am I going to learn about this time around talking to you. I think that you have a very interesting topic, even though I think maybe some people might, I don't know, they may look at it and say, but this is something that you, like you're cheating a little bit because it's what you do with your prized opportunity to work on some comics. So let's go ahead and let's just let the folks know, what is your topic for this year?
So I decided to go into kind of making a comic almost. So I went about like the approach of how hard the world can be on artists and even how much harder we can be on ourselves as artists to create. So I wanted to make something where I'm kind of talking about my own artistic journey a little bit, where I'm talking about what I'm starting to do to make myself want to draw more and to create more and not be as afraid as I have been. Mine actually ends up going into Sarah's comic about how to write comics, so I won't go too far into that. But mine, I think, is kind of more of the emotional side and the effort that goes into making a comic and the kind of mental stuff that you go through, and almost informational as in what I need to do for me, what may help other people. But if I only help one person and that person's myself, I hope that I accomplish that with my comic.
Okay, and you've got a great name for your part of the presentation. I'm going to say that because, you know, as you mentioned, yourself and kind of Sarah Cook, you kind of are teaming up, so to speak. Not officially, but kind of teaming up with this topic, correct?
Absolutely.
Well, your particular part of the tale is called You, Yes, You Need to Create, which I thought was a very clever title for a comic.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I felt like it's almost like addressing myself as I'm creating and like kind of look into the mirror and say it to yourself, but also I want other people to create. I think that creating is just a wonderful way to express yourself. I've talked to many people, and like as they've gotten older, they've just kind of gone to art as something they do for fun for themselves. And I think that being able to express ourselves is something that's beautifully human of us and something that's amazing. Like, I even taught a class kind of about this comic to some younger kids. And like, even at that age, like they were very insecure about their art. They were talking about like, they didn't have enough time to like complete something. They didn't do X, Y, Z. They don't have the skills to do this. And it's like, you just need to create. Like, you don't need to do anything else. Like, that is the only thing that I'm asking of myself in this and that I'm hoping to ask the audience in this.
So I guess you could say that we all have that internal monologue in our head, right? That tells
absolutely.
Us, yeah, that tells us, oh, you can't do this, or it's too hard, or whatever the excuse is.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving away too much from your own story in the anthology, how do you overcome that hurdle?
Really hard. And honestly, it's just kind of trial and error. Like for me, I found like just giving myself very low stakes to do stuff where it's, hey, like, even if, like, I don't make, like, a full page, like, it is great that I, like, sketch something today. It's great that I took a little, like, post-it note and I, like, made a little doodle on that. Like, that is already wonderful. I know, like, for me, like, I'm kind of, like, trying to make myself, like, do a reward system. Like, I have ADHD and I'm very much, like, hey, just get the reward now. Like, I'm smart. I can go and get it. And I'm, like, trying to force myself, like, no, I need to do that schedule kind of thing. But I think, like, for me, it's kind of showing like there is a struggle in that. I struggle with it a ton. Like I've been creative for a very, very long time. I went to school for it and it's still something that's very difficult.
Do you think that society puts pressure or society has a viewpoint about being creative that maybe also continues to hinder people?
Absolutely. I think it's, there's a lot of pressure that you need to create something that's wonderful. Like social media, people post their best stuff. And I'm not saying not to post like what your best is, but I think like a lot of like new artists or even ones that are experimenting, like they'll see that, they'll compare themselves to it. I think with some of the rise of AI art, like there's a lot of people that are just like, I'm just going to do that instead of like put effort into what they want to do and like learn the craft. I think that we have like a very time crunch society where if you're not good at something, you might as well just abandon it. Like you need to be able to monetize what you do. You need to grind. You need to do all this stuff when really art is something that's meant to be just fun, relaxing, enjoyable, to help you like make sense of the world, to make sense of what's going on inside yourself. I think it's such a tragic thing that it's that we're at like a point in society, I think, that we feel the need to be great because we need to show off to everybody, when being creative, I think, is something that's so much more internal than I think a lot of people give it credit for, and is something that is therapeutic when they just see like the end result. Like it's a, like creativity is a journey. Like it's a journey to create something. It's a journey to go from like getting out of bed, standing up and going to a workspace to create. It is a journey from the very first stroke that you make with your pencil all the way to the inking stages and coloring. I think that it's a journey and no one sees that journey anymore because we're so focused on the end product and we're so focused on having a result. Like AI art, I think like it just shows that end product. There's no process that is worked at inside ourselves. There's nothing like that. I think that it's tragic because I want us to be able to express ourselves more fully. I want us to make sense of the world in this way. And I know I struggle with, I need to make something that's perfect and I'll get frustrated if I don't make something that is like, that isn't what I see on social media. I'll like get in my head about like that journey being really, really hard, but it's also very, very worthwhile.
And I shook my head many times while we were discussing your thoughts, because it rings true for me as well, because I've had this podcast for a very long time. People think, well, why aren't you making like tons of money? Don't get me wrong. I've tried. Yeah. But at this point now, I've been doing it long enough where I want to do it just for the sheer art of it. And so everything that you said, and I just, for those folks who are watching or listening to this, there's tons of different types of art out there, whether you're talking about drawing or sculpting or film or dance or podcasting or whatever. But we all still have that same hurdles. We all have those same hurdles to overcome, no matter what the genre is.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up like how many different forms of art there are. Like I talk about comics in mine because that's my specific journey, but your journey is also so worthwhile. And I hope it almost touches it to some other people that do have their own creative journeys that go on because it is like just a struggle for everybody, where there's just like pure joy and like creativity and just doing something and just going out and making something, because that's one more thing that you made like a couple minutes ago than you made yesterday. Like it's just beautiful to make whatever you want. Like podcasts, I think that's an awesome and wonderful art form. I think just anything. And I hope that people do continue pursuing what they want to. And I hope that my comic helps inspire just a little bit of it to show, hey, just do the bare minimum sometimes. And maybe the bare minimum, it'll lead you to going further and further with what you do. But if you only do the bare minimum, like that's all you can give. And if that's all you can give, that's already 100% of your effort. And that's something to be proud of.
Let's clue in myself and some of the listeners and watchers as well. How much collaboration did you have with Sarah? Was it a real strong collaborative spirit, or was it like, hey, you know, I'm going to do this, you said you were going to do that, and we'll just kind of meet somewhere in the middle? Like, what was the process for working with Sarah?
It was very much just kind of a very chilled kind of like, not quite Easter egg, but almost Easter egg, where like mine leads right into her comic and where she's picking up kind of where I left off, where I'm kind of, okay, like I have the motivation to do this. Now what do I do? And she picks it up kind of from there and like makes some references to my comic at the very beginning. And that's really, really fun. Like I go on like a tangent about something at the very, very end. And like throughout her comic, she like picks up on that. I'll leave that as a spoiler for people to read the anthology, because it is a very funny joke, I think. And I'm very glad she did it. But yeah, like it was very, just kind of more relaxed. It was like, I told her what my message was going to be. She said her message. And from there, we decided like at the end is kind of like doing like the track of relay where I'm like passing off the baton to her and she picks it up very wonderfully.
It's a good analogy. I like that analogy.
Thank you.
Well, let's, and this might be a difficult question, because obviously you already had something in mind for your particular subject, for your entry, but what if you couldn't have done the topic that you chose? What if it was just like somebody else had already taken it and you didn't want to be, you know, copying them, so to speak? Did you have a backup? Did you have a plan B?
Oh, I feel like I did. I'm already forgetting what it was. This is I fell so hard into this subject that I did. Let me think of what my other one would have been. Like, I can't even remember the topic. I just got so into this one. Like, the project itself ended up being a journey for me because I got a new diagnosis of something that both, like, really hurt, but also started making a lot of sense in my creative journey. And I was wrestling with a lot of that while I was making it. Yeah, especially with the C theme, I almost kind of think I would have gone back to like guinea pigs and just been like KEQ, like electric boogaloo.
Well, you know what? Right now, before we talk a little bit more, Fennec, about some other projects that you have going on and whatnot, I think it's a good spot to let folks know about the crowdfunder. The crowdfunder, as I've been talking to all these wonderful creators, they all say the same thing, that this is unusual, it's a unique way to get funding for a project, and crowdfunder is the option that we're using here. And look, it's got different tiers, and for each tier there will be a page rate that will go along and it will go back to the creators, folks. And look, Fennec, you can I'm sure you're going to say exactly what I think you're going to say. Is it expensive to be creative?
Not at all. I taught that class the other day and I gave everyone pieces of notepaper and pencils and I said, you can do a ton with this. And at that, like when I was growing up, I would always draw on the margins of homework. Like I would turn in pieces and like I would have like half drawn comics on them and I'd get it back from the teacher with like my like 7 out of 10 score and I'd keep drawing on it after the fact. And it's just, you can do just anything and just have that internal experience. And even like, I think like a lot of even great artists, they've done, I've seen like wonderful work done just with like MS Paint even that you can just have for free on your computer. I've seen people where they just use like a Sharpie as opposed to some like an ink pen or something. There is so much that can be done with so little.
All right. But you know, sometimes though, you do have to plunk down some cash. I know sometimes markers run out, sometimes tabling fees at conventions pop up. And that's, folks, where we're going to need your help. If you can donate, we would love to have you do that, please. And you can pick up a cool anthology as well. Let me just give you the breakdown here. We would love to hit $2,000. All right. And we would love to have that as our top tier. That would give every creator $25 on the page rate. And then if maybe we don't reach 2000, maybe 1675, that gives every creator $20, 1350, $15, 1050, $10. But look, we want to shoot for the top. All right. We want to shoot to the very top. We want to get that $2,000 mark. And you can help us do that. Just go over to C3, which stands for the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. Go over to their social media. That's where all the information is, where you can pick up one of the anthologies. I believe there's a URL that's posted over there. Click on it. Get yourself a cool anthology. I've been talking to so many people and learning so much stuff. And that's not me just, you know, blowing smoke. That's truly what I learned about birds. I've learned about bears. I've learned about making comics. I've learned about historical people like Margaret Armstrong. So you definitely will learn something and you'll have a lot of fun reading this anthology. So do it, please. Please, please, please. Fennec, let's talk a little bit about yourself. I assume that you were always a creative individual, or maybe a creative kid, always, as you said, drawing on the margins of your homework and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. I remember at a young age, like I was drawing like pretty much it was early on, like Scooby-Doo fan fiction for my like kindergarten class. So like I would draw like all the illustrations and read them stories and stuff. And my teacher let me, and it was just a very like fun and wonderful experience. And ever since then, I think I've just had that kind of passion towards following that.
Now, you even said that you went to college and you got a degree. You got a master's degree, right, in comics, correct?
Indeed, I did. I went to Wittenberg University and I got an English major as well as a creative writing minor. And that was actually where I met a professor who got me into comics originally. It was very, very fun learning about that. And like, I was always very passionate about comics and hearing that it could be like something that could be studied, something that's an academic medium. That was wonderful and exciting for me. Not to mention like being able to create comics as well. Like we started, like I did like creative writing classes and I would make comics in some of those classes. That was awesome. And I just decided that was my passion from there. Like, I even remember my very first comic I made. Like, we had the writer's workshop. I was just sitting around and I remember like getting excited because I wanted to know how I could improve. And everyone just kind of, it was a comic about a girl who finds a cat and decides to take her into her dorm and like how like she could keep it and stuff. And I remember like everyone just started talking about their pets and like how they met their pets and all that. And I was like, are we going to talk about my comic at all? And the professor told me like it was just so like relatable to a lot of people and just like there really wasn't much to critique, and so people just really started gravitating towards their own stories and relating to it. And I found that fascinating with comics, where people can put their experiences into what they're reading, put themselves into characters that they see on the page. Like, that was just fascinating to me, and so I just had to continue pursuing it, and it has been wonderful.
Excellent. Because I was going to ask if you would you ever consider like doing a PhD if in comics or something along those lines? Would you ever consider that?
Honestly, I would really love to. Like, I have like all this back here around me. Like, I have been so like into just like reading literature, books, just any kind, like over like the like years and years and years, and just being able to throw myself fully into that. I think that would be so rewarding.
Okay. Okay. I just, from my own personal experience, once I got my master's degree, I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm done. I've had enough.
Very fair.
Yeah. My wife has a PhD and I'm like, God bless you, because I don't know. I would never be able to do that drag. I mean, it was enough to just get that master's degree. So, but,
absolutely. So I'm even considering like a master's of library and information sciences now. And I'm like, what? Just why not?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of your other projects. One that I saw on your Instagram, and I don't know, it may not be a current project, it may be in the past, but it made me chuckle. I believe it's called Side Eye Animals.
Yeah. I've been making some stickers of like pets that I've owned in the past, so it's some of my friends' animals, where just like have like sticker series of like animals, like giving the side eye, because some animals could really give a really wicked side eye. Like, my guinea pigs growing up, like my first two that I have, there was one that was intensely side eye. The other one, like I have one currently, he gives like a really great side eye. My Westie, he recently passed away. So like I have to add him to the series because he was like the master of side eye. And that was really fun. Like I even based it off of like another picture that I had of him where he had like a little bit of it. Not, he wasn't snarling, but he had a little, like he would kind of show his little lip a little bit. Like, kind of, and that was really fun. Just, I don't know, like there's just something about, like I've always loved drawing animals. That's always been a very big passion of mine. I love animals. But just with them, it's just, I just love looking at like their little personality showing through, the little sass that they can give sometimes. Like anything from like your, like a pet dog to a little guinea pig can be sassy.
Okay. All right. It made me chuckle and I'm like, that's pretty good. Cause yeah, I imagine that there are some animals that certainly could throw you some shade. So. Now, the other thing that I saw on your Instagram, which by the way, it's Art by Fennec, by the way, is the handle there for those folks listening and watching. And I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce it right, but you had kind of a art piece dealing with something called aphantasia.
Aphantasia, yeah.
Could you explain maybe to the listeners or the viewers what that is?
Yeah, so aphantasia is basically, if you were to close your eyes right now and I told you to picture an apple, there are a lot of people that would be able to see an apple within their mind at kind of varying levels of clarity. Some can like visualize everything from there being bruises on the apple to like all the speckles on there and like the color gradients. Some people can maybe picture like a regular apple, maybe not as clearly as the first one. I cannot see anything at all in my brain. And that's kind of how it's always been for me. I think that might be why I'm kind of partially drawn to comics, because reading, like I've loved reading for a long time, but there's always just been a little bit of a disconnect for me where I can never see what's going on the page. So Atomic being able to fill that in for me has been very wonderful for me. Like the animator for like the Little Mermaid, like he has aphantasia. I found this out from an animator on YouTube where he talked about having aphantasia and realizing like when people say close your eyes and picture this, like that people do that. Like it wasn't just a saying. And like for me, that was like, what? Like people actually close their eyes and visualize things. And I was in a group chat with a lot of other friends and they were all like, you can't see? Like, what are you talking about? And like, I always get like messages from them randomly nowadays where it's like, one of them like will be like, by the way, I'm like rotating a horse in my brain because you can't right now. And like that kind of thing where I think it's hilarious where, but it is like just true where like I can't picture things in my brain. And so I made a comic kind of about, like it was, I was thinking a bit about it, like maybe overthinking it, but I wonder if like that kind of memory and like not being able to picture things, if that has anything to do with like how people remember things, being able to process things. Like if I were to be able to see things in my head, would I be able to process that easier? Would that be more challenging? And so I was just kind of wrestling with that where like all of my memories are kind of just vibes for me where it's like, okay, like it happened, but I can't see what happened. I can't even like hear what happened. I don't have like an inner monologue either. So that's really fun for me where kind of literally no thoughts, head empty. I just think it's a very fascinating topic that hasn't gone into a lot. Like, especially with a lot of artists who have it. That's been very surprising to me how many artists I've seen who do have it. And I have one friend who theorized like maybe the reason people like artists with aphantasia do well is because they don't have like a mental image to compare to. I don't know if that's entirely the case, but it's just fascinating to me.
Is there any like, and I don't, and maybe you know, maybe you don't, is there any like long-term health issues or concerns that you have to have with this? I mean, I found it again also fascinating and something that I didn't know about because I just assumed we all had those visions in our head and whatnot.
I haven't seen anything that is one way or the other where like one way of living, if that's healthier, so to speak, than another. I haven't actually seen too much about it. I know like there have been like a lot of artists who have been just successful. I haven't heard any long-term or like later on side effects from it. It's just, yeah, like it's just, I guess, like just a weird thing that is like almost like color, like hair, like or the color of our hair or something. It's, I don't know, like it's a good question though. Like I haven't even like haven't thought about too much. Like I've like looked into it like very briefly as in like, am I gonna like die immediately because I can't see something in my brain? And like fortunately like Google was like no on that one, but other than that I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, there you go. That's what I've learned. As I joked at the beginning of this episode or the beginning of this live stream that I was going to learn something. There it is. That's it. And I do find that fascinating. I mean, because I remember, I'd say 4, 5, 6 years ago, I think it was before pandemic, I was listening to NPR and they talked about psilocybin and how that's used to help people with mental health issues. And I was fascinated by it. For the next several days, all I could do was like Google and read up on it because I thought it was so fascinating how our mind can manipulate itself, you know, and all the kind of inner workings of how that acid, because that's what psilocybin is, it's acid, how that could help cure mental health issues. So this is what it reminded me of, so to speak.
So it's very interesting. I'll have to look into that myself. You told me something in this one.
All right. Well, let's talk about, is there any other projects that you have coming that you'd like to just highlight real quick?
Yeah. I know in a couple months, I'm really hoping to get done with this comic where it's about trying to think of how to word it, almost like have like, it's like a sci-fi sort of situation in the desert. I was very inspired by Trigun recently and Final Fantasy VII. That has been really big, like, dystopian fiction that I've been reading, but that like I've kind of been inspired by that where I want to go into there's a kind of like bodyguard situation where someone is trying to transport a woman who was the president or the wife of the president of like a city/corporation, and like they have to bring her back and like a battle going on there. Other than that, that's kind of been the biggest thing I've been working on. Maybe perhaps in the meantime, some more guinea pig comics because I just adopted a new boy and I haven't actually done anything with him in drawing. So I'm like really excited to do something with him and how like spunky he is and how much he just loves getting smothered. And like, that's the first time I've had that with the guinea pig. So I may go into that a little bit. More with like sci-fi. I got really into punk music. Bring Me the Horizon and Bad Omens have been playing on loop pretty much for me. And kind of continuing off of that sci-fi story, that one's like a branch story. So kind of continuing a main story there. I've been having a lot of fun with that and like a kind of punk band, like kind of fighting against like corruption, like a corrupt government / like corporation. That's been a lot of fun. But yeah, other than that, kind of anything that comes to mind, I'm hoping to kind of continue this creative journey that I started with this comic and trying to show like some love to myself and creating and just seeing where my journey ends up taking me.
Okay. Well, Fennec, I got one more question for you real quick. All right. Okay. If you could go back in time and you could have dinner with one famous person, who would it be and why?
Ooh, that's a really good one. For me, it's almost between, I want to say between Virginia Woolf and Osamu Dazai, both of them very prolific writers. Like their writing styles have been some that I've just resonated with so much. And I've like learned, I've just like their stories have just gripped my heart in a way that I just can't describe. And just with one of them and just hearing like their lives, their struggles, like they both had mental issues and like constantly hearing them talk about those things would be very interesting. The aftermath of wars and like seeing their countries kind of falling from graces that they thought that they're at the top of the world. Virginia Woolf after World War One and being in England and seeing that kind of collapse of her country, and then Osamu Dazai with Japan after World War Two and that kind of conflict going on. Like I think just with one of them, I think that would just be fascinating hearing like where they came, like with their writing, their mental health struggles in their writings, just hearing like kind of what wisdom / experiences they have. I really found like their writings have been some of the most prolific, almost devastating in some ways, and just be able to meet the person behind like this heartache that they've given me, like without closure almost. I'm like, I want to like hear what you have to say about that.
Okay, well, let's talk about social media and website before we plug the crowdfunder one more time. Where can folks find you online?
Yeah, I am on Instagram and Tumblr at Art by Fennec, all one word, F-E-N-N-E-K. And then on Blue Sky, it's like artbyfennec.bsky.social. I think it's something like that, but you can find me Art by Fennec. You can usually find me with like a little goblin profile picture. I'm drawing foxes a lot of the time, so be on the lookout for that.
All right. And again, just want to let everybody know that the anthology is coming. It is a fantastic project. I mean it. And you need to check it out. So if you check it out, definitely a donation would be also awesome and also very, very appreciated. Again, we want to get to that $2,000 mark. So everybody from Fennec to Jeremy to Shandu to Sydney to everybody can get some money back in their pockets. Again, $2,000 is the top tier. That would give everybody a page rate of $25. The money is staying here. That's the other thing. It's not going anywhere else. It's staying here in Central Ohio. All right. It's not being parceled out to any other places or any other groups. It's right here with C3. And look, C3 does a lot of great programming throughout the year. So there you go. If you need an extra motivation to plunk down some cash, there you go. C3 Foundation or organization or collective, whatever you want to call them. C3 does such great work. So again, grab Hidden Histories. It is the anthology for this year. Go over to C3's social media. You'll find links and information there as to where you can get your hands on the anthology. So, Fennec, any last words?
Please do fund the anthology. I decided I'm trying to start a reward system, and you can help me get Reese's Cups for my rewards in order to help me to create more. So I think that will be helping with the comic more, where you are going to read about me wanting to create. And in that, you're going to see that I'm going to want Reese's Cups. And from there, you can like help that like prophecy almost like come back to me. And that'll be very wonderful. Everyone's work is so beautiful. Like everyone has done such amazing work in this anthology, really pushed and like, yeah, pushed like their limits. They did their best to want to spread like the word about things in Ohio, about Columbus, this wonderful city, and beyond. And I think that learning something new every day is also a wonderful thing.
There you go. That was really well said. And I'm going to leave it right there, Fennec. Thank you for sitting down and chatting with me this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to get you set up to hear Sarah Cook and the other half kind of this tandem, if you will, right after this. I'm going to interrupt my conversation just for one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for @WGComics. Ladies and gentlemen, I am joined this evening with another superstar of the C3 Hidden Histories anthology, a writer that has quite a bit of accolades, and we'll talk about those. But I'd like to welcome to the show Sarah Cook. Sarah, how are you this evening?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's start off talking about your entry for the Hidden Histories C3 anthology. It's called So You Want to Write Comics.
Yeah.
Can you maybe give us just a little summary of what that tale is all about?
Yeah. So since the theme of the anthology is kind of educational pieces, either about something in Columbus or about comics, I wanted to write something about writing comics, since that's what I spend so much of my time doing. And my short kind of focused on what I feel like is kind of the biggest, I guess maybe like the foundation of storytelling is the emotionality and kind of how the emotionality drives the plot. And that's kind of the focus of the short.
And you know what? I think that you're absolutely, I agree with you 100%. I think that if you don't have that emotional attachment to what you're reading, I always look at it from an angle of something I'm interested in, filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So many movies, if you're sitting there watching and you could care less what happens to those characters, then that movie has certainly let you down.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I feel like, and kind of what I mentioned in the comic is, I always kind of think of it as like, what is the character's emotional arc? That's sort of the first thing for me is like, where are they at emotionally, or what are they struggling with emotionally at the beginning of the story? And where do I want them to be at the end? And then what kind of events along the way, plot points, are going to cause them to get there?
So why'd you choose this topic? Was it just the easy answer being, well, I do this already, and maybe I can give some knowledge to some other folks? Or was there another reason why you decided to choose this topic?
It's mostly because I do so much of it, and I love it, and I think about it a lot. And it also kind of complements Fennec's story, which comes a little bit before mine. So we had the opportunity to kind of link those two together, which I thought would be really cool. And yeah, mostly just because it's something that I love and spend a lot of time thinking about.
Well, your artist is someone that is well known to PVDcast listeners, Brent Bowman. Mm-hmm. Who, of course, with Dara Naragi, created Persia Blues and a whole host of other wonderful comics that he has created. What was it like working with Brent?
It was great working with him. I met him at Space, I think, 2 years ago, and loved his comics and loved his work and wanted to find an opportunity at some point to work with him. And this seemed like a good opportunity. Since it is C3, I wanted to work with someone local, and it seemed like the perfect opportunity. But he's great. He's super talented and just really, really fun and great to work with. I had a great time.
Was there something about his art that you said, yes, we have to work together on this project? Was there that like epiphany that he's got something that is just the it factor, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I liked a lot about his art is his character designs. And this short, it's basically a character who, Finnick and I both, I don't want to speak for Finnick, but my impression, but I at least in my short kind of loosely based the character on myself. And it's mostly just her kind of moving through her office, kind of looking at the camera, explaining to the reader sort of certain elements about comics writing. So there's not a lot of like big action or anything like that. It's really driven by the character talking. So I knew I wanted the character to look cool. And I like Brent's character designs a lot. I love all of his art. But yeah, and the character looks great.
I thumbed through the preview PDF that we all received from Sydney. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that Brent really did knock it out of the park. As I said, I know Brent, he's been a guest several times on the show. But this one, I just feel like it was so realistic that he did such an amazing job. Kudos to him. That's all I can say is definitely.
For sure. I love the details that he hides in his backgrounds too. Like there's one page where there's like a Peanuts poster on the wall. And then on the last page, there's the first issue of my comic is in the background. My series, No Spell Lasts Forever, kind of behind the character. And it's, I love some of the, like, he just put so much thought and so much detail into the environments that he creates.
So how did you become a member of C3?
It was after Space. I met, I think it was, I think Sydney was there. She was the first person who I met tabling at Space.
Okay. Was that your first time tabling at Space or have you done it before?
This year was my second time. I'm trying to remember my timeline here. So I think when I first met the C3 team, it would have been my first time at Space.
Okay.
Last year.
Space is a fantastic show. For those folks that don't know what it is, it's a small press and alternative comics expo put on by Bob Corby every year. And it highlights the very best of independent comics, art, comic strips, you name it, it's there. And you definitely, if you're in Columbus, you need to check it out. It's free too. I mean, so if you like need extra motivation, it's a free show.
Yeah, Space is awesome. I love Space.
So why do you think C3 is such a special organization, in your own opinion?
I think, the first thing is just the people. Everyone I've met through C3 has been so great and just kind and supportive and creative and really dedicated to comics. Just really great people. And I think just really, really active in the comics community and going to a lot of events, just doing a lot of things like this anthology. I think it's just a group of really kind, really talented people who really want to do cool things together and are really good at organizing these projects and making them happen. That's been my experience.
Would you say that it would be an accurate statement if I said that this type of organization is so important, especially for independent creators? Would that be something that would be spot on, that you would agree with that statement or not?
I think 100%. And I think like there are online groups and organizations that I'm a part of that have been great too. But I think it's really important to have local connections and connections with people you can meet in person. I think groups like this are super important to comics creators.
Well, let's talk real quick. We're clearly not done, Sarah. Still want to talk about No Spell Lasts Forever and a couple of your other projects and whatnot. But I think we're at a spot where we need to talk about the crowdfunder campaign, because it's going on to help put this book, help put this anthology out there in the world. And look, I've been saying it on every one of these conversations I've had with these so many talented folks. We want to shoot for the top tier. All right. There's tiers, and each tier has some money that's going back to the artist. But I want to go big or go home, so to speak. So $2,000, if we can get $2,000, then every creator is going to get a page rate of $25. That's kind of unheard of in indie comics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
So we want to make that happen. So folks, if you can and you want to donate, and you're getting a great anthology too. As I look, I let the cat out of the bag. I admit it. I have the PDF, the rough draft version, and it's amazing. So you need to check it out. Again, the money's staying right here in Central Ohio. It's not going anywhere else. It's going back to people like Sarah, people like Emily, people like Shandu, people like Sydney, people like Jeremy, et cetera, et cetera. All those fine folks, it's going back to them so that they have some funds back to them for supplies, which I'm sure, Sarah, supplies are probably the biggest chunk of maybe your budget.
Yeah, supplies. For me, since I'm a writer, I think a big part of my budget is just everything that goes into like making comics happen, printing and shipping and even just like not MailChimp anymore. I've switched over to Float, but like Flowdesk fees and all of these things, just all of the expenses that it takes to make comics happen.
That's right. And so with this crowdfunder campaign, you will be helping to make this a reality. Go over to the social media. They'll have all the information about how you can get your hands on this cool anthology and even give you the breakdowns of the other tiers. And you know, I'm just very passionate that I'd love to see us get 2,000 so everybody can get that $25 page rate. But there's the next tier down is $16.75, and that's $20 page rate. Next step down from that is $13.50, and that I believe is $15 going back to everyone. And it all kicks off with $1,050. But again, I'd like to see us get to the higher echelon, if you will, and give everybody $25 back in their pocket. So.
Definitely.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of your projects, Sarah. Let's talk about No Spell Lasts Forever, because if I remember correctly from my research, it's on the journey to being a trade, correct?
We've got 4 issues out. The artist is Easy DeSavino, and we're shooting to get issue 5 out around hopefully around the end of the year. It's 6 issues, so the number 6 would be next year, and after that we'd love to do a trade.
Okay, I thought that I saw that there, but that's awesome that you have that as a goal. Can you give us a little bit of the background towards No Spell Lasts Forever without giving away too much?
Yeah, so it's a modern fantasy series. It's about a magic using criminal who kind of meets an early death, which is not a spoiler, that happens in issue 1, and makes a deal with the devil for a second chance at life, but she has to kind of figure out if she's really the kind of person who can go through with this deal, and if not, what does it mean for kind of her fate, the fate of her eternal soul.
Is there an inspiration for the tale?
It's kind of inspired by sort of old noir movies. The main character herself is really into old noir movies, so I wanted to give it that kind of feel.
Okay, all right. I believe that there is another project that you, I think, finished up. If I did my research correctly, called Faster Than Light.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about that project?
Yeah, definitely. It's a sci-fi anthology that I did with Lesser Known Comics. We did the first volume last year and the second volume this past summer. There are a bunch of Columbus folks in that one, which is exciting. And yeah, it's a sci-fi anthology about family. So different stories about biological families or found families. And kind of the little tagline that I gave to the creators was in a fast-paced futuristic world, how do families maintain their connections? And the different creators just took it in all different directions. It was really cool to see the different styles and different kind of takes on even what makes up a family, and it was a lot of fun to get to work on.
Well, that is something that I think is very unique about that project, because I think that, and again, I'm not trying to sound like the big bad jerk here, but I think at times sci-fi sometimes is just explosions and starships and aliens, and there's not something more to the tale. And so I think that for me, doing the research on Faster Than Light, I think that that's something unique, and that's something that should be praised.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about yourself here. You are a Mad Cave Talent Search winner.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through how that journey took place?
Yeah. So I won in 2023 in the writing category. And I submitted when I think it was like early summer of that year, late spring, early summer, that I submitted my my script. And they were looking for, at that point, scripts. I think it was like up to 8 pages or something like that, set in the world of one of their series. So mine was set in Stargazer, which is also a sci-fi. And it's a really good series, actually. I recommend it. So mine was a short set in that world. And I submitted it like early summer-ish, heard back around the end of the summer. And the sort of the prize for that is getting to write a short for one of their Flash Gordon anthologies, quarterlies. So that was a lot of fun. I was paired up with the winning artist, colorist, and letterer to do that. And it just hit shops back in July. So that was very cool. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to work with all of the other winners and with the Mad Cave editorial team. They were all great. It was just all around a great experience.
Piggybacking off of that, that explanation or that journey that you told us about, number one, were you a little bit nervous about going and taking those first steps to getting into the contest? Or were you like, eh, we'll give it a spin and see what happens?
I was nervous.
Okay.
I think because I was nervous, I think, about how my writing would be perceived. And I think there's always kind of that little voice in the back of your head that's like, well, what if they read this and they don't like it and they don't have a good impression of me as a writer? But I thought it was kind of worth taking that risk. That wasn't so much to lose. So yeah, there was definitely some nervousness, but it felt like it was worth it to give it a shot.
Now, does this give you maybe a leg up on the competition with Mad Cave? In other words, are they looking to have you come back for some more work on some of their IPs and whatnot?
Yeah, they did actually hire me to write a couple of shorts for a couple of anthologies coming out from Paper Cuts, which they haven't announced yet. So
okay.
But so that was a lot of fun because that's a younger, like middle grade demographic, which I'd never really written for before. So it was fun to try something new. And I'm in the process of pitching a couple of things to them. So I don't know how that's going to go yet, but it was definitely nice to have just the editors there, contacts there to be able to kind of reach out to and have someone to actually pitch something to.
What would you say, since the C3 anthology is all about learning stuff, what would be the lesson that you took away from the Mad Cave journey?
I think it really is, when it comes to making comics, I think the lesson is, I think number one, just kind of jump in. Like, even if you do feel a little bit nervous, sort of don't let that stop you and jump in. And then also just really the importance of building relationships with editors, because they did actually invite me to pitch a couple of things and have given me a lot of feedback about the kinds of projects and pitches that they're looking for. And that's insight I wouldn't have had without being able to connect to those editors. And whether it is through a competition or meeting at a convention or emailing, I think building like genuine relationships with editors and not just like kind of cold emailing them and being like, you know, look at my thing, but trying to connect with them as people and fellow humans who also love comics, I think is really important.
I have to ask that you got the opportunity to work on a piece for the Flash Gordon quarterly.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Flash Gordon?
I liked, as a sci-fi fan, I liked Flash Gordon. I hadn't read a ton of the comics beforehand, but I really jumped in kind of researching for the short and read sort of like the whole, like stuff going back to the 30s and then like the DC run from the 80s. And that made me a fan. Like now I really do enjoy Flash Gordon stuff.
Do you enjoy the movie?
I still haven't watched the movie. I need to at some point. I've seen little clips of it here and there. I still haven't watched it all the way through.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap up here with a couple last questions here. Since you have had all this experience of being recognized for your writing and doing all these great, great projects, what advice would you give to an aspiring writer?
I think there's so much. I think first of all, when it comes to the actual writing, just do a lot of it. Just really practice. Like I wrote, I don't remember, a bunch of scripts before. No Spell is the first actual series that I finished and wrote all the way through and wanted to make. But I wrote a bunch of stuff before that, just learning how to write comics. And yeah, so I think just practice, learn what you can from other writers. And as far as, I guess, kind of the whole sort of Kickstarter side of it or publishing side of it, I think build a community before you even start to like try to launch a Kickstarter. A community with other creators and with potential readers, people who are interested in what you're doing. So that when you do start kind of making stuff, you have that network there of people who would be interested. Yeah, I think those are probably the biggest things. Build an audience and build a network of creators and just learn everything that you can from other writers.
Do you have any projects that you'd like to highlight real quick?
Yeah, we've got the next issue of No Spell coming out later this year. I'm also a member of the judging committee for the Zelda Awards. Yeah, just launched by Carla Medrano is the one who founded them. And they're a new award for women in indie comics. And that's all women, not just cis women. And that's coming out. The show is going to be in April. We're going to be opening for submissions soon. So that'll be all over my Substack and my Instagram. And yeah, I think those are probably the most exciting things I've got going right now.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to give it a rundown before I let Sarah give us her social medias and whatnot so that we can follow her and all the great things that are going on with Sarah. But look, I'm just going to mention it one more time. All right. I feel it's my duty. You need to get your hands on this anthology. So many cool stories, so many cool things that you're going to learn. I learned so much just by doing these conversations. You need to check it out. Again, if we can get that $2,000 mark that everybody gets a page rate of $25, there's other tiers. And don't get me wrong, we would be happy to get any of those other tiers. But I think that Columbus, Ohio, we can do it. We can make it so that these folks get their page rate and you get a great anthology. It's a win-win situation. So definitely, again, swing over to C3's social media. There's going to be links and information on those social media outlets where you can get your hands on one of the anthologies. So again, all the money's staying right here too. So there's no outsourcing of funds. It's staying all right here in Central Ohio. All right, with that, Sarah, let's go ahead and plug social media, website. Do you maybe have, I know we're getting close to the end of the year, but maybe you have a random appearance or something that you'd like to hype up?
Oh, for social media, my Substack is sarahlindseycook.substack.com. And my Instagram is @sarahccomics. Appearances. I am going to be at the Central Ohio Artist Table just for an hour at Cartoon Crossroads.
The Zelda
Awards might be participating in a virtual con around Thanksgiving. That's not solidified yet, but that is a possible appearance.
Okay, cool. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. This has been great.
Stick around as I'm going to wrap up this episode here right after this quick break. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Fennec and Sarah Cook, talking about their entries into this year's C3 anthology, which is called Hidden Histories. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and you could reach out and let me know if you did, or if you have a question, or if you have a concern. And let me tell you those different avenues for getting in touch with me. First, you could shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. @PVDcast is the handle for those. And you can even still reach me on Twitter. @PVDMVP is my personal Twitter handle. And so there you go. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest place to get every single new episode of the show. It's also available through all of those major podcasting outlet and apps. All you have to do is go to your search bar in your favorite app or outlet, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while you're doing that, you should rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And you don't have to do much. You just have to give me as many stars as you think I deserve and maybe a quick blurb of really good show or loved it or whatever. It means a lot to me. It helps drive me up the algorithm, and it makes it so that those outlets and apps know that you're listening and enjoying the PVD cast. And hey, while you're at it, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the show. But there's one final way you can enjoy the PVD cast, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page at PVD cast. I do a little live broadcast. So there you go. There's three ways that you can hear the show: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.